This is tough to follow this esteemed trio. These are the two books. The one on the left is a textbook. There's no royalties from that. The one on the right, there might be 50 cents a book, but I don't think there's any significant royalties from it. It was, I think fat was spelled with no P or F as well. I had a wonderful October. This is my very first grandchild. He's named... He's named after my dad, who was a fighter pilot during the war. And when I was born, I was a war baby, and I grew up, I thought I lived in the greatest country in the whole world. And we didn't have it easy. I was one of seven kids in a mixed family, and my stepdad was out of work with illness a great deal of the time. And yet, I didn't have this perception. So the day that my grandson was born, this ad appeared in the major school and university newspapers in the United States. It's a full half page sponsored by General Motors, who tells us, in case you didn't notice, reality sucks. So I'm going to talk about reality sucks. And I think for the average American, things aren't working very well. There's not a single meeting that starts at UCLA that someone doesn't go, "I'm sorry I was late. The traffic on X was completely stopped and I couldn't get there." And there are people, typical Atlantans, commuting about 60 to 80 hour, minutes a day. And in Los Angeles, many of the people now are commuting an hour and a half each way because the only place they can find to afford is way distant and the prices are low enough for them to do it. And one of the things, when I teach at UCLA, and I got this from the folks that have already spoken, is the built environment is social policy in concrete. And as Bob knows, Northwest Atlanta did not want the wrong element coming in, and Bob knows exactly what was meant by that. And so MARTA, the transit system, was not set up there. Well, God punished them because now the traffic, it's 23 lanes wide and it stopped 3 to 4 hours a day. Sooner or later, you can't move enormous numbers of individuals when each one of them has to bring along 3,000 pounds of steel at the same time. This impact of the built environment and our dependency on cars, thank you, General Motors, has had real effects. The most, I would argue that some of the most disenfranchised people in America are those who can't drive. You're either too young, too old, disabled, or poor, and you cannot get where you need to go because we have built America for drivers. In fact, we have more cars now in the United States than we have licensed drivers. We're so in love with the automobile. And the impact on especially poor people is that enormous amounts, a portion of their income, this is over 30% of poor people's income, is going to transportation. The people at least can afford it in terms of all the other life costs that they're dealing with. In my course, I'm endlessly amazed by the things that my students teach me when they do their presentations, and this was one of my favorites. Teresa Devine and Amy Vettel drove along Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood and recorded the billboards. Actually, billboards are important. They are the most money-generating per dollar spent kind of advertising that is out there, believe it or not. It's not internet ads or anything else. Billboards really influence people's behaviors in deep ways. So not surprisingly, when you go along Sunset Boulevard, 26 of the 65 ads are for entertainment. Then, of course, they went to La Brea Avenue in a poorer part of town. Anyone want to guess what the messages to the community that was dominating every big space in that community was? Eat bad food, drink a lot of alcohol, and go get a lap band surgery because if you do everything we tell you to do, you're going to need this surgery. And then we blame the individual for not having self-control, and we blame the fact that we're spending huge amounts of money on our medical care system when we're saturating people's lives with this. You've all seen the obesity maps, and I won't go through them, but the larger point I want to make is those obesity stats are driving the diabetes data. When I was a young pediatrician, I never saw a child with adult onset diabetes. We call it, now we call it type 2 diabetes, and more than half of the pediatric diabetic clinic now is kids with type 2 diabetes, and we're seeing 15 and 16 year olds with fatty livers from all the fructose in their diets and a whole series of other symptoms. And the American response is, well, we'll spend more money on medical care. We're now spending 2% of all the money in the United States. All the money in the United States is going to diabetes alone. And if we spend a whole lot on medical care for diabetes, instead of 20% of the population being diabetic by the year 2050, 33% of the population will be diabetic. This message here. You have to spend the first dollars on prevention. You have to spend the money on what are the things that are making people healthier and sitting at the end of the disease pipeline and thinking we're going to have a positive intervention is not going to work. When I was young, 7% of all of our money was going to medical care. It's now close to 20%. And in my grandson's life, God help me what it will be if we continue. You can't run an economy on a 20% healthcare services system. So thinking about justice, look what's happened to the average American income, median income in the United States over the last 10 years. Now, I talked about my early life, and for the first 30 or so years of my life after World War II, everybody's income, it wasn't great, but everybody's income in the United States doubled. The poorest 20%, the richest 20%, and the top 5% went up about 86%. What do you think has happened since the trickle-down revolution of 1980? The top 20%, look what's happened to the poorest 80%, look what's happened to the top 20%, up 46%, and the top 5% up 68%. But, very importantly, what do you think it looks like after taxes? Top 1% has gone up 200% versus a flat line over a full generation for pretty much the remaining 80% of the population. This is economic justice. This thing, this is unreadable. What it is a chart of the 40 most developed countries in the world and how good a job they are doing for their publics. So this country that I thought was the greatest country in the world, and I dearly love it, is in the bottom five of all the developed countries in the world for overall social justice, childhood poverty, income inequality. What's going on? And I do think a lot of it is racism. Thinking about my child's grandchild's life, and I think the effects of climate change are going to change things dramatically, but it's too much of a diversion and I won't go through it right now. So, what is the most commonly taken drug in the prime of life in the United States at this point? It's antidepressants. 400% increase over the last 20 years. I think that might have something to do with the fact that people are so economically stressed by the physical commuting and the environment and the options for life that we're dealing with. So General Motors' solution is reality sucks. The ad is a young man on a bicycle who's doing exactly what we want him to do. He's not causing congestion. He's not causing air pollution. He's getting physical activity, and he's probably creating some community capital in the same process. He's being smirked at by a pretty girl, and underneath it says, stop pedaling, start driving. And for $27,000, you can buy a GM Silverado, and you can take the next 7 years to pay it off along with $100,000 in school loans. You're going to need those antidepressants as we take the lessons that General Motors is doing. Now, if you visit Wall Street, there is this giant gold bull. That, you know, this is the message from America, from the people that run it. And I just love this picture of clergymen as part of the Occupy Wall Street program carrying the papier-mâché effigy of the biblical golden calf. Remember, Moses came down from the mountain. He was so disgusted with the people who were worshiping gold at the bottom of the... And yet, this is what we have done to the 99% of our population. If you get a chance to read this book, Phyllis Tickle, it's really a meditation on greed. And when I was a kid, I thought greed was, you know, Scrooge McDuck, and it was kind of funny. But we've taken it from being a personal sin to a cultural mantra in our society. Mother and matrix, root and consort of all sins. A transformation of greed into a kind of mass hysteria. Greed makes people do stupid things. Here is the soda industry and the sugar industry suing to make sure that people on food stamps and food assistance can buy all the high fructose corn sugar and sugar sweetened beverages that they need. I'm sorry, a lot of things I don't like my tax money being paid for, but this one is just off the charts stupid. We absolutely need to do what we did with alcohol, do what we did with tobacco. We need to tax things that aren't good for people. And a mere penny a teaspoon on sugar in sugar-sweetened beverages would generate about $20 billion a year. And we should not spend one nickel of that on stomach-stapling surgery. It needs to be spent on safe routes to schools, good parks for schools, school gardens, good physical activity and PE programs for kids, decent cafeterias, and ways that kids can be healthy. So I've spent some time condemning people that I think are doing bad things with their greed. I want to say that probably no one got rich on the housing bust in this room. And I love public health because public health people are so admirable. I never go home from a class with my students and I don't think, boy, I'm so lucky. I am so humble by how caring and decent and genuine these young people are. And it's the only thing that gives me hope as I look at a lot of the nonsense going on in American society is I think our young people have more sense. American Academy of Pediatrics has come out with a statement that kids need to grow. First time they ever did a built environment statement or an urban planning statement, they said kids need to grow up in environments that are physically safe, that they can have increasing autonomy, increasing socialization. Normally they talk about, what are the drug doses and vaccine doses. New York has showed some genuine leadership around active design guidelines. And if you've been to New York, now you can almost bicycle all the way around Manhattan. It is a way of building community that is really profound. I'm working with Harry Weilands over there videotaping, and we finished a four-hour public broadcasting series on this, and with your permission, I'd like to show about 2 minutes of it. One more positive thing on the horizon. And I saw Rajiv Bhatia, but he left. But I'm going to tell you that I did not believe in health impact assessment 3 years ago. And partly because I was so skeptical of environmental impact assessments, where you'd look at 4,000 pages of boilerplate from some consulting firm and 2 pages of health stuff, and it didn't do a good job for health. This report that just came out a month ago from the Academy of Sciences is in essence saying every big plan, every big project, every decision we make has pluses and minuses, and you need to capture that as you do it, and you need to explicitly state what the health impacts are before you embark on a large decision. And you need to do stakeholder involvement early. Because what happens with stakeholder involvement in these big things is they bring the stakeholders in at the very end when the guy's got financing and they got the Caterpillar tractors and everything ready to go. And of course they don't want to hear what people have to say. So I really recommend that you can get the PDF of this for free. The public's getting this. They want places to live with decent walk scores. If you live where there's mass transit, you don't know that you're part of a weight loss program. But in fact, people that live with mass transit weigh about 6 to 7 pounds less than those that don't. Mass transit works for less pollution, less injuries, more social engagement. It's more affordable than owning a car, and it's good for your health. Every person at APHA ought to go out and buy stencils, and we need to go up and down the streets of America stenciling this message all over our streets, because you know what? Reality doesn't have to suck. Look at this. 2002 and 2003, how many abstracts with the word land use at the APHA meeting? None. This year, 102 for land use and 182 for built environment. Our young people, our researchers, our policy people are getting that in many ways. This is shaping what we do.